Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The story of Hannah Duston is an extraordinary tale of revenge, heroism, and savagery. Though she's been largely forgotten, back in 1697, she did something that made her one of the most famous women in America.
Writer Jay Atkinson became interested in her story when he was a kid, growing up in Methuen, not far from where Hannah Duston lived.
There's this giant, you know, life-size, oxidized statue of this woman, and she's got a hatchet in her hand. So I'm 10 years old or something in the back of the station wagon with one of my knucklehead friends from the neighborhood, and I say to my dad, who's got his, you know, beach hat on, "Dad, who's that?" And without turning around, he says, "That's Hannah Duston. She killed the Indians."
Hannah Duston killed the Indians. It was revenge, and at the time, she was celebrated for it.
During the winter of 1697, in the frontier village of Haverhill, Massachusetts, a band of Abenaki warriors killed 27 men, women, and children, and took 13 captives, including Hannah Duston and her one-week-old daughter. They marched them north into what is now New Hampshire, where Hannah hatched a deadly plan.
And Jay Atkinson tells the story in his new book, Massacre on the Merrimack: Hannah Duston's Captivity and Revenge in Colonial America. The story begins in Haverhill with that pre-dawn attack by the Indians who were at war with the English settlers at the behest of the French in what was then known as King William's War.
These were not the local Indians that had been pushed out and were irritated about the loss of their land. These were mercenary Abenaki warriors. The French would send them down and they would come in a small party. These would be all young and experienced warriors. As the settlers were getting up and going to their chores, they would attack the outlying part of the settlement and spread terror. They would kill whoever they came across.
Men, so, women, children.
Clergy, didn't matter. And within minutes, on the morning of March 15, 1697, they'd killed 27 men, women, and children. They did it so swiftly and so ferociously. They would kill some of the settlers quickly, and then they would take a certain amount of captives. So they took 13 captives, including Hannah Duston and her week-old infant, Martha, and her nurse, a neighbor who was widowed, who was helping with the baby, Mary Neff, 51 years old.
So these three are taken captive. Along the way, something awful happens to her infant child.
Once they had their captives, they wanted to go into stealth mode, disappear into the woods really quietly. They take Hannah towards the woods. Obviously, the baby would be probably squalling and screaming, and one of the warriors took the infant by the heels and swung it against a tree and murdered it instantly.
So tell me about Hannah Duston's plan for revenge and eventually her escape.
As far as her account to Cotton Mather goes, which is the most extensive interview that she gave, and then Mather used that account in slightly different ways in four consecutive books. His account reads that it took them about 2 weeks to force her and some of the other captives north to an island at the junction of the Contoocook and Merrimack Rivers. On the way, she resolved to meet the Indians' ferocity with her own ferocious persistence. And there was a 12-year-old boy from Worcester that had been taken captive, a white boy, previously. He'd been with the Indians for several months. He befriended Hannah and Mary. They asked him to confer over the next few days with his master, the Indian that had taken possession of this boy. How do you kill with a tomahawk? How do you scalp? Where are we going? And it gradually she built up like a body of intelligence and then waited for the moment when they were on the island, which is surrounded by a treacherous high water. And when it got down to just two men holding her captive, and then there were six women and four children there, that's when they moved on the Indians.
So that's when she executes the attack. And I'm wondering if you can read the passage where Hannah, her nurse, Mary Neff, and this boy actually carry out the attack. I want to warn listeners here that you describe what happened with some graphic detail, but this is a crucial part of the story, and I'd love you to read it.
The pole axe in her right hand, Duston motioned to the others to ready themselves. Snoring unevenly, Duston's master lay in his filthy leggings and mantle, his scalp lock twisted into fantastic shape. He looked unapproachable and fierce, even in repose. Duston straddled the Indian and raised the axe, raised it with the arm that had broken ground with the spade and carried the hod, the arm that had chopped a month's worth of firewood, that had lifted the calf, built fences, and hauled water from Little River, the arm that had cuddled baby Martha to her breast, and the hand that had stroked the infant's cheek. The arm that held the axe descended in a terrible, swift blow. the weight shifting to the balls of Dustin's feet and the heavy stone blade smashing against the Indian's forehead. There was a muffled crack, quickly followed by two more such noises as Mary Neff and the boy struck their victims. Looking down for a moment, Dustin saw an abundance of clear fluid mixed with bright red blood flowing from the Indian's ear and nose. He gasped once and fell silent.
Mm. It's a terrifying passage. And I want to ask you how you sort of thought about passages like that, because this story is so exhaustively researched. You know, you also bring a certain imagination into what must have happened. How did you think about that, balance that idea of research and imagination?
I did some factual research that played into even that description right there of the clear fluid coming out with the bright red blood at the same time. I have a friend who's a trauma surgeon and a transplant surgeon, and he's in L.A., and I conversed with him by email, and I asked him, like, what would happen if you struck the head with that instrument at that level of speed. He described this stuff to me, and I could put that together with what the island looks like every year, 3 years in a row, on March 31st. The high ground on the island seemed to be most likely where they would put their shelter, and the shelters were set up so the Indians were all lying in a row, so they approached like theatrical players approaching the edge of the stage, and they all struck at once. And then it became a killing field and a reminder that our history, just like the history of all nations, is awash in blood.
Yeah. So I want to ask you more about that. So she kills 10 Indians, women, and children, then waits until the next morning and goes back in to scalp them. What do we know about why she did that?
Her first motivation of Hannah, the first was kill the Indians so we can get away. Once they finish killing the Indians, it's dark. They have no expertise in a canoe. Probably the only time she'd ever been in an Indian canoe was on the short ride from the shore out to that island. And they're waiting for daylight. So it goes from a blood fury to a more reflective, like waiting a few hours till they see just enough of the river to get in the canoe. During that few hours where she had to meditate on what she'd just done and her friends had just done, I think that's when she decided, I need to bring back proof. I know for a fact that they burned down my farm. I'm going to take these scalps as a way to get recompense from the colony. Wow. To rebuild the family with what I've got.
What a story. So she makes this perilous trip through the icy river, gets back to Haverhill. What happens to her when she gets back to Haverhill? How is she greeted?
What's fascinating now, it's hard for us to explain from the perspective of the 21st century, but Dustin, in her own time, and for at least a century afterwards, was an enormous celebrity in the New World. As a matter of fact, the first publicly funded statue to an American woman is to Hannah Dustin. It was dedicated in the late 1880s on what became known and is now known as Hannah Dustin Island in Boscawen, New Hampshire.
Now, in your book, you ask, what is the meaning of murder perpetrated upon not one, but 10 victims who are asleep? Did Hannah kill the children because she thought if she spared them, they would immediately rouse the Indians at a neighboring camp to pursue her? And the more important question, is this genocide? What's your answer to that? Of course, this is the big provocative.
It's the more philosophical part of the book.
Yeah.
In a way. When it comes to what I think about it, I have to say that my thoughts and feelings continue to evolve. Mm-hmm. And it's been a 3.5 year process.
Yeah.
And that to a certain degree, my thoughts and feelings are private to me. And I think that the reader has to grapple with this kind of story on his or her own. And, yeah. I think it's up to folks to, like, wrestle with it.
Well, it's clear that you've wrestled with it and you've sort of challenged us to wrestle with it. But you also write this, and in a way, I think this sort of provides an answer. You write that Hannah's story is the story of the frontier in microcosm, an incursion by European settlers into native lands, the savage response of the original inhabitants, and a solution perpetrated by the newcomers that led to the eradication of the Indians.
Yeah. That's it right there.
Yeah.
Because you see what Hannah Dustin did, and not only did Mather and Sewell write about her, but Hawthorne, John Greenleaf Whittier, and Henry David Thoreau in A Week on the Concord and Merrimack Rivers all wrote about her.
Yeah.
So she was an enormous figure in the 18th century. When ideals about motherhood begin to change in the 19th century and get more gentrified, it's Grandma Moses in a rocking chair with like a shawl over her. Hannah becomes, in the words of one contemporary commentator on this story, an embarrassment to American history. Her over kill, her overreaction to like what happened to her.
Well, Jay Atkinson, you bring this story to life in a really, really fascinating way. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here. Nice to see you, Anthony.
Jay Atkinson's new book is Massacre on the Merrimack, Hannah Duston's Captivity and Revenge in Colonial America. You can find more information about it at our website, radioboston.org.
What a story, how blood begets blood. Wow. Well, Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.